Coming to you from various places around the world, this is the Global Exhibitor Podcast, the podcast designed to help exhibitors succeed internationally.
Probably people think Chinese people are just poker face, but inside they are very emotional.
Yeah.
You just have to spend time to really develop authentic relationships.
Your host for the Global Exhibitor Podcast is Jeff Hanna, a designer, entrepreneur, business strategist, industry thought leader, and student of world cultures based in the United States. Here's your host, Jeff Hanna.
Well, thank you, Craig, and hello, everyone. I'm here live in Las Vegas at the Exhibitor Live Show with a friend and colleague, Mr. Bing Yu, who is from a company called Hitlights. He's from Qingdao, China. Welcome, Bing.
Thank you, Mr. Jeff. It's my pleasure.
Good to have you here, and I'm excited to be able to have breakfast with you. And it's a little noisy in the background, but everybody will hopefully be able to understand us. But I'm excited to have a conversation with you about your experiences, which are fascinating, I must say. Your story about how you came to the U.S. and all of that. It took a lot for you to get here to the U.S. and start your company. Can you just talk a little bit about your story?
Sure. So I'm 100% made in China. With my American dream, I came to the U.S. when I was 27, back to 2007. I went to LSU for my PhD with the chemical engineer degree. About to graduate around 2010-11, economy recession happened around 2008. It's very difficult for us with a PhD degree without citizenship to look for a job. Economy was so bad at that time. I think everybody have the experience with that. So I'll be fortunate to start our business from our LSU Student Incubator Program. And my background is chemical engineer. I'm also an environmental protector. I'm always looking for green technology based on my research. So LED lighting technology is a great trending technology startup. Everybody probably here familiar with CES. So back to 2010, January, I went to Las Vegas, joined the CES show for my first time. There, I discovered the LED lighting technology. Then I decided to go with the trend and spend our time and really focus to launch LED lighting technology products.
Wow. And so now you've also gotten into the exhibit industry. So you're working with companies like Cork to provide custom lighting solutions that they rent to clients and things like that. Is that correct?
Yes. So we are very grateful to work with Cork. What we're able to work with them is we actually own the factory in China. We started our own factory back to 2012 after I started the business 2 years later because I'm very engineer mindset. And also, I'm very critical for the quality. To be able to focus on the quality, we start a factory from scratch. And how we were able to help with Cord is Cord select a few vendors, but we are one of the vendors would love to work with them and customize for them to deliver the products for them.
So you were able to create a customized series of solutions. They needed that were not ones they could get from any of the other companies.
Yes.
But thanks to you owning the factory, you can make whatever you need to make, right?
Yeah, it's a combination for our niche. Because we will be willing to, we really understand the exhibit industry. So not only Cort, we've been working with Freeman, Zanowski, the industry leader for a few years. We really understand how the exhibitor industry works. And we have two locations in Louisiana and California. We will be deliver our products to any customer overnight if you need that. And we understand for this industry, you need the products overnight.
I know that China is a big country and there's over a billion people and it's very competitive to be able to differentiate yourself out of a sea of so many people. And what does it really take to be able to have your American dream or even to be really out a standout from the crowd, if you will, in China as an individual?
So I would say China is really, they're really focused on education. Yeah. Like no matter your the parents or the Chinese you met in China or the Chinese people you met in the US, they very particularly will be paid top dollars education for their children. And this has been the thing for me from the beginning. Like, I'm from a very average family. Like, my father and mom was just a factory worker. So for me, come to the US, what I have to take is, I have to study very hard to go to the top school, top universities, and get a full scholarship. So I got a full scholarship from LSU. Like, all tuition has been paid. Something like that. Otherwise, I cannot afford this tuition.
Yeah. It's pretty phenomenal, though. That's not an easy thing. So, obviously, hard work, like you mentioned. I mean, you have to, but education is really important.
Yeah.
But it's just, you have to work really, really hard to be the best you can from an educational standpoint to get the scholarship or to get the opportunities.
Yeah. I still remember, like, when I was working at LSU for this 4 years, I mean, we go to work in LSU lab for like maybe 60 hours a week. They also, our professor, the same way, like, he taught me how to work hard and earn.
What does your family think about you now with the success that you have? Are they amazed about it, or how do they feel? I know you're away from your family a lot, but.
Yeah, of course they are very proud of me. On the same side is they are very far from us. So I got to go back to China a few times to visit with them. And they are very happy. They're very happy.
Yeah. I guess there's the trade-off of you're being successful in the one hand, but then that takes you away from your family on the other hand.
So yes. Yes. It has some like a sacrifice flavor into it. Yeah.
Something that I've had to face quite a bit too with my travels internationally is, you know, the good thing is that, getting to see the world and experience a lot of things, but I'm doing it without my family, and that's difficult.
Yeah, that part I really resonate with you. And I believe a lot of folks in the exhibit industry, the same.
Yeah.
You guys been traveling all over the world, all over the country to really deliver the best exhibitor experience for your customers.
Yeah. Well, I wanted to ask you also, because you have a very unique perspective being from China, that culture, but now having lived here in the U.S. for some time, what is it about the Chinese mindset and working with Chinese people that you think most Americans probably don't understand or maybe could understand differently?
I think one thing in common, first of all, is a relationship. Like, if we are working in a B2B business, in the exhibitor is definitely a B2B business.
Yeah.
It's about relationships. In China, we call it guanxi. Guanxi in China means a lot, also a lot of different flavors. Lots of people may have the wrong perception is Chinese people, normally they are very calm, they are very cold. Actually, I don't think so. Chinese people are very emotional. So really like developing an authentic relationship with them, or with us, is very important.
Is it they're emotional, but they don't show it so much on the surface?
Yes,
you have to get to know them better?
You are absolutely right. Is Chinese people, they are emotional, but you not necessarily can tell from the face.
Yeah.
And I didn't really say it in a negative way. Like, probably people think Chinese people are just poker face, but inside they are very emotional.
Yeah.
It just have to be spend time to really develop authentic relationships. And just like you mentioned earlier, right? Lots of relationships or transaction, nowadays is based on transactional relationships.
Yeah, right.
That's not the way we develop business. That's not the way I don't think Chinese develop their relationships.
So I know from my own experience in having worked with companies like Hisense and other companies, there is something to be said about if you work with other known companies and brands, that gives you a certain level of credibility that can help.
Mm-hmm.
And I think that goes across any culture, really. If you're working with some of the big name brands, Boeing or Nike or some of those companies, that says a lot. But I think maybe in particular, I don't know if the Chinese are are more concerned if you work with other Chinese brands that are large companies that might give you better chance of working with them.
That could be true sometime, because people like to work with the people like there. So I particularly won't comment too much on that, but it's true sometime. It's true.
What has it been the most interesting or most biggest learning experience that you've had, if you could summarize it into a couple of things, having lived here in the U.S. and, you know, how that's, what you've learned and how that's changed who you are as a person since you've been here?
Being living in the U.S., what I have learned the most is you want to be independent. China, the current problem that I faced with China, for example, my cousins, they take a lot of things from their parents for granted. In the U.S., what I see is people, like, you know, when they get to 18 years old, go to college, you get out, right? You have to earn for yourself. So that's the bigger culture difference right now that I see between China and the U.S., and which I learned is I will never just give my children what they need take for granted. I will let them earn themselves. That's one thing that I learned from the U.S. culture. Another thing is in the U.S., people, I would say, is more simple-minded. The relationship you do business in China could be more complicated with the relationship you do in the U.S. So currently, we don't really have any business existing in China. But for the last 10 years of doing business in the U.S., I enjoy the business culture here.
That's good.
Yeah.
I think oftentimes American companies, when they're thinking about working in China, and we see a lot of growth in the industry there. I mean, because the growing middle class in China and everything that we're seeing. So a lot of American companies are selling and targeting shows in China and want to be part of that. So I think the more they can understand about the Chinese mindset and the culture, the better they can do in terms of reaching that market, and vice versa. So many companies that I've worked with in the past coming to the U.S., or going, you know, from any country coming into the U.S. And American companies do it just the same. They take their mindset that they have from their own culture and try to do that in whatever country they're going to. And it doesn't always work. Rarely does it actually work. And immediately you can tell, oh, they're from that country or this country, and they are doing things differently, and it's not really making a good connection maybe with the target audience like they want to.
That's absolutely true. I still remember one of your podcasts mentioned that in European, instead of wearing polo, you want to wear a button shirt, right? Yeah. In China culture, I mean, there's a lot of things, like, for example, like a seasonal. If you exhibit in this time, or like you want to know the Chinese culture, like just Chinese Spring Festival just passed, right? Mm-hmm. Like in Chinese Spring Festival, Chinese people like red color. If you exhibit in this season, you want to remember these kind of things and cultures, and make probably some promotion item to be red, or have the flavor of the Chinese Spring Festival. And there's all kinds of festival like this. Holidays like this. Different from U.S. culture.
If we can talk a little bit about authority, there's the concept of power distance index and things like that in terms of how authority is viewed in certain cultures. And how is that different in running, say, your business in China, how it runs versus how you work with your teams here in the U.S.? Your company is in both places.
So for me, for our company right now, our average people in the U.S., age probably older, 40, 45 years older. Okay. In China, are 25 to 30. So they're much younger.
Yeah.
Work with these millennials is very difficult to be a bossy way. Mm. I would say this the same in the
U.S. Even in China or here.
Yeah, I would say this. Yeah, China has been changed. Like, especially the millennials, they born in a good family. It's not like our stage. When we born and we don't have enough to eat, or we don't have a very good environment for us. But right now, the millennials, they come from good family. They know what is good life. So they don't want to be just told what to do. They want to align with you. They want to know their life purpose. They want to know your company's purpose. So from the cultural perspective, you really need to think about these things. In the US, I would say in general, people work in a comfortable environment. Mm-hmm. And what we try to do, we are a girl-based company. We are not a lifestyle business. What we value is people and people learning and girls. So we try to challenge everyone to grow, to learn. Like, you know, we have a book club in the company.
Yeah.
We have a quarterly paid speaker to speak in the company. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm trying to do everything to train our people, let people grow, because I think people grow, company grow.
This may be a little bit of a controversial question, but there's restrictions on having, you know, children. Everybody's limit more to one child and that sort of thing. Can you talk about that if you're comfortable with doing that?
Yeah. It actually has been changed. So 30 years ago, I'm like right in that generation. Mm-hmm. I'm born in 1980, mm-hmm. and the birth control policy has been, I think, launched 1978 or 1979. Okay. So I was the only child in the family. I have lots of cousins. They are the only child in the family. Just because China at that time, I think so many children has been born. And at the leadership of the Chinese government, they realized that it could be an issue. It's definitely a perception issue. 5 years ago, we eliminated this policy, that one child policy.
Okay.
Yeah. So right now, you can have two children. I'm not exactly sure whether you can have three children or not, but you have plenty to work with when you have two.
Yeah.
And the problem
I'm
and the issue.
I'm not sure if you really want to have three children. It gets more and more complicated.
Yes.
I have three, but I'm very thankful I have three. But
This is very controversial because I see a lot of my friends or even our employees, young employees, they don't want to have children. Mm. They think they have one will be enough, or they probably don't want to have. And the similar thing that I see in European, like there's a survey, I think last year, like half of the European women, they don't want to have any children.
In terms of where your business is going now and you see the industry going, what do you think the future holds for lighting?
So lighting is a very traditional industry and also is a big industry. With the LED lighting technology came into the industry to replacing all the traditional one like halogen, incandescent. LED, the big difference is LED as a small chip technology is a solid state. It can be worked with wireless, Bluetooth, other technology together to really change in the lighting perspective. As we work on the floor of the exhibitor lighting, you see LED tile, you see LED strip lighting, linear lights, to really to be changing for the industry. Lots of lighting technology from the LED perspective can be more easier work with the booth from the booth design perspective to bring more tractions. For us, for example, we launched the Amazon Echo and a Google controlled LED lighting linear lights to work with the booths or work more like from a smart home perspective, I would say.
Yeah.
Because, for example, Amazon roughly sold 80 million pieces of the Echo controlled device, 80 million pieces last year. Voice control has become a thing. I just came back from CES this year. I see Google and Amazon competed really well in the CES.
Yeah.
They boosted a few hundred people to the CES to work with their strategy partners.
Yeah.
They try to fight for the voice control thing and the smarter home. So in another 10 to 15 years, you walk in the home, right? You can just voice control
everything.
Your lighting. Hey, Alexa, light up my backyard or my kitchen or my anything else.
Yeah.
Closet room.
Yeah. Well, so I'm sure that'll happen in the trade show arena as well. So
yes.
Like you were mentioning, it just opens up a lot of doors for possible design, changes and unique solutions that we can have.
I also say, the old traditional Canesson bulbs and halogen bulbs, these bulbs are facing away.
Yeah.
You will see a loss of linear lights application, even to replace general lighting. Like if you go to San Francisco airport or Los Angeles airport, you won't necessarily see the big light bulbs anymore. You will see a lot of linear lights been attached to the building.
Yeah.
Like when you walk the show, you will see a lot of linear strip lights decorate the wall or any display.
Do you have any particular advice? Maybe it's to students or younger people that might be listening.
No matter how rich you are right now or how successful you are, there's one thing we have is the same, which is the time. How many seconds do you have for a day? 86,400 seconds. And you don't know whether you're going to have it for the next day. Mm. And just like Steve Jobs always asked and told us, right? Consider this your last day.
Yeah.
And what you should do for this day. Enjoy every second and work on this second and figure out what you really want. Based on what you really want, you need to have a smart plan for it. Mm-hmm. And just work on the plan. Do never give up with the plan. And you will make it.
That's good. Good advice. Well. Thank you very much, Bean. I appreciate your words of wisdom and sharing your insights into your life and your American dream and your background. And this has been a great interview. So thank you for joining us on the Global Exhibitor Podcast.
Thank you, Mr. Jeff.
We like to remind people that all business is conducted within the context of culture. So each episode provides insights to help marketers understand the cultures they're trying to reach and strategies for building bridges across cultural divides. If you like the Global Exhibitor Podcast, please share it with others, subscribe to it, and rate it on iTunes. We greatly appreciate the feedback. Please also check out our website and blog at www.globalexhibitor.com. And finally, if you or someone you know would make an interesting guest on this podcast, please let us know by sending an email to guest@globalexhibitor.com. And until next time, thank you for listening.